And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. A little extra sleep for the three of us, thank goodness.
Yes.
I'm sorry, two of us. I'm my bad.
Oh wait. Only two of three. Keyser, how are we doing?
Surviving. I'll be okay. I'll go back to sleep later.
Wow. Oh, to be young again. Just taking long naps throughout the day. It's a good day to be Nick Keyser today.
A little bit later.
You gonna get a nap today, Keyser?
At some point, I'd say after lunch.
That's good. Good. Nice Friday relaxing nap for Nick Keyser coming up. It's going to be a good time. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. Teron Davenport at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Titans with him. But we start on the Preds. A big win for the Preds last night. Joe Rexroad, they beat St. Louis 6-3 in a game where, quite frankly, I didn't think they played very well at all, except for the power play. And at times on the penalty kill, and that ended up being the difference in the game. And they get a massive win against St. Louis to keep them 8 points behind you. So we talked about it yesterday, an opportunity for the Predators to push St. Louis back to 8 points behind them in the standings, an opportunity for the Predators to take the magic number to clinch a playoff spot from 8 points to 4 points. They're able to accomplish both of those things, which ultimately is the only thing that really matters, even though I thought for the most part, 5-on-5, St. Louis absolutely took it to the Predators last night, and UC Saros had to be fantastic, and he was.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny how, you know, 5-on-5 game, really good against Boston. It was a heck of a game, and, you know, special teams let you down, but you liked your game. Then you come out 2 days later and really you feel way better if you're the Preds just because you found a way to win. Also, because your power play worked. Power play functioned really well and got two goals. But like you said, Saros, I mean, Brunette said last night that might have been the best game he's played all year. I don't know how many times he said that this year, if any, but, you know, that's a pretty big statement. And Saros was absolutely... I mean, I don't know how he found the puck a few times in some of those just absolute mosh pits in front of the net.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, I thought the Predators were horrible in the first period. And you know, I know they scored 31 seconds into it. They took the 1-0 lead. And I thought they totally got their butts kicked after that. And they were, you know, lucky beyond luck that it was only 1-1 after the first period. And that Saros made some big saves then. You know, they gave up 20 shots on goal in the first period. That's the thing about this team, Joe, is, you know, down the stretch last year, a lot of teams were getting 35, 38, 40, 42 shots. And that really hasn't happened to the Predators a ton this year. But St. Louis peppered the net last night, and Saros was outstanding and answered the bell. And you know, I didn't think the Predators were very good defensively, and that's typically, you know, a nice calling card for them. But with the puck, I thought the puck management, the turnovers, a lot of it was really bad last night. And yet, they found a way to win. So I guess it depends on the eye of the beholder. Like, you could view that, and I think Andrew Brunette kind of did view it this way after the game, of really for the first time in a while, their game took a major slip. And I thought that's what happened last night. And yet, when your game takes a slip, you score big goals on the power play. I did think they responded well with a pretty nice third period. The penalty kill had some big moments of some nice kills. And even when you had not your A game, probably not your B game, and maybe not even your C game, you were able to come away with a win last night.
Yeah, the kill was very good, and it really helps. I mean, just take away, you know, 30 seconds into the game, perfect little backhand flip from Ryan O'Reilly, Roman Josi full speed, you know, he gets into a kind of a 2-on-1 and goes 5-hole on Bennington, and so you have the lead. And so you're never chasing the game if you're the Preds. You know, I mean, maybe if that doesn't happen, maybe it's different the way they played and the way the Blues played, because I agree with Brunette, you know, desperate team, and that's your whatever you have in the tank last night. If you're the Blues, it better be out there, because you know you're done if you don't win that game, right?
Yep.
So you know that they get some credit for that too. But that first goal, I think, is pretty key. Just you know, I mean, I know the Blues tied it, but you were never behind in the game, and just kind of still feels like it set the tone. Even though I agree with you, I mean, it didn't really look like them the way that they play and the way that they've you know, handled possession and just executed until the third period in 5-on-5.
So they get the win. They're 8 points up on St. Louis. Now, LA also won last night, so the Preds remain 1 point up on the Kings in the second wild card. But really, you know, you're going to continue to probably have to jostle back and forth with LA down the stretch here as to who's going to finish in wild card one and who's going to finish in wild card two. But the important thing is you push St. Louis back to 8 points. And look, you know, there's all these analytical websites and, you know, playoff percentage chances. You know, moneypuck.com has their playoff odds. There's all sorts of different odds you can find, and they're not all exactly the same. But after the win last night, according to MoneyPuck, the Predators have a 99.9% chance to make the playoffs, and St. Louis is down to a 0.1% chance. So, I mean, that kind of tells you what you need to know of. You know, had they won the game, you know, it's still the Predators, I think, were in the 90s in the percentage chance to make the playoffs if St. Louis would have won last night. I think St. Louis would have been up to like 7, but that's a huge difference. And you've effectively, at least in terms of catching you pretty much put the Blues to bed last night.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a matter, you know, the Preds can't, you know, celebrate making the playoffs and until four more points happen one way or the other, but they'll happen soon enough. And like you said, then it comes down to LA, and it comes down to, well, and it's interesting because, you know, obviously LA, I mean, they're only a point behind the Knights right now, but it comes down to basically Vancouver or Dallas. For the first round for the Preds. And
Although I will say Colorado did win yesterday, so they're 3 points back of
only three
Dallas,
back. Yeah, that's
and they
true. You
do
can't
play
count them out.
Dallas coming up. So if
At
they could
home,
win
right?
that game, yes, at home. So if they could win that game, they could get pretty interesting.
Yeah, you can't discount that. Dallas is on such a heater, but heaters do end, as we know. But yeah, look, I think the maturity is a word that Brunette used a couple times last night, and I think that's an important point. You know, just they were getting caved in, you know, a lot of that game. Soros, I mean, I think you were walking after the first period, you know, to the media room, and you're like, yeah, they could be down 6-1 right now. You know, I mean, he was big time. I mean, really, he's been big time this week. You know, the numbers on Soros this. And I understand 44, 47 is a heck of a number, but like still the numbers on Saros this week, like don't reflect how he's played, I think, you know? And
Agreed.
so that's probably where you start. But the maturity is a thing too, I think, for this team to hang in there. And, you know, again, the power play, it's amazing. They're like, yeah, worked on kind of like snapping the puck around a little bit in practice. And all of a sudden it's like, well, it looked like a different power play to me. Is that all it takes? You
Well,
know,
it
just.
worked. Yeah. And, you know, the first thing Brunette talked about on the power play last night, Yossi talked about it too, was moving the puck quicker. That's what he talked about with us yesterday on the show. And look, I did think they made one change to the power play, and they moved
Yeah.
Evangelista up to the top unit, and that ended up working out pretty well. Like, I thought he was really good, and they scored a couple of power play goals. The Beauvillier one, he kind of got caught out there, so it was like half of the first unit and half of the second unit. They still had Nyquist out there for the first unit. Evangelista was out there for the first unit, and Beauvillier was out there, I think, with Sissons as well. And Evangelista made a great play. And got the puck to the net, created kind of a loose puck rebound there, and then Nyquist made an awesome play to get it to Beauvillier, who came in for Glass yesterday. So, like, Evangelista, I think, continues to be really impressive during this stretch.
Yeah, that was key. I thought he looked good in the glass spot. And it was interesting how the guy who replaced Glass is the one who kind of benefits from what Evangelista created in front of the net. So do you look at this like basically just an ongoing competition between Beauvillier and Glass for that spot?
Yeah, right now I do. I thought Glass was okay during the three games. Like he came in immediately against Arizona and had two assists right off the bat, and when they took the 2-0 lead. Yeah, I think he's okay, but like he just for whatever reason he can't take the opportunity and run with it. And I know, I mean, the Colorado game, I'd love to see what happened if like they never benched him, because the Colorado game he gets the hat trick. The deadline is like the next week. They make the moves. They bring in Beauvillier and Zucker, and then he's on the bench. And look, Beauvillier has not been out there for any of the losing. So I think they're 8-0-1 with him in the lineup. So maybe he's the secret weapon, Joe. Maybe they've discovered that if you don't play Anthony Beauvillier, you're not going to win the game, or at least you're guaranteed if you do play him
Yeah,
to not lose in regulation.
it's 100% that you're at least going to get a point if you play them. Yeah, I guess until that ends, how do you take them back out now?
Yeah, I mean
Especially if
it's
he's going to score a goal, you know,
well, and he
that
almost had
helps.
another one. He
He
almost had
did.
another one last night too on a really good play. So, but quite frankly, like I've not been very impressed with him from what I've seen. But a couple of big moves last night in tight towards the net. I mean, look, the goal he scored, I'm not taking any credit away from him. It's good that he was around the net, but Evangelista and Nyquist made the play, and it was a tap in, and that's basically what he said after the game.
Right.
But I thought the play where he didn't score, where he drove it to the net, hung on to the puck, was more impressive than the goal he had. So I think that's encouraging moving forward from him. Like Zucker's starting to get some chances, and I feel good about him. But if you could get either Beauvillier or Glass, and probably right now Beauvillier's got the inside track to grab hold of that spot, I mean, they're going to need that line to be more effective than they have been.
Yeah. Yeah, and because I thought again, you know, Evangelista had some, not just like Luke on the power play, but I thought they had some moments. You know, I mean, I think that they can be dangerous and can create some offense. You know, then hey, we haven't even mentioned Michael McCarron,
Yeah.
but you know, the guy makes an impact.
There's no question about it. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Big win for the Preds last night against St. Louis. They pushed the Blues back to 8 points behind them in the standings and all but wrap up a playoff spot. The math would tell you that it's going to be pretty darn impossible for St. Louis to catch them at this point, but we'll see. We'll take your thoughts on all that. Plus, some records being established for the Nashville Predators last night. We'll get into that. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in to 1025, 1063, The Game this week for NCAA tournament coverage brought to you by Toyota. Ready, set, go get your Toyota today. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road. Nick Kieser here with you on this Friday morning, taking your thoughts on the Predators. They get a win last night, 6-3 against the St. Louis Blues, and the odds would tell you that a playoff spot all but wrapped up. MoneyPuck.com has the Predators at a 99.9% chance to get in, while leaving St. Louis at a 0.1% chance to get in. So a big win last night for the Nashville Predators. Taking your thoughts on that on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, a couple of milestones hit last night. Philip Forsberg with two goals. So he now has 43, which is a new career high for him. And he ties the franchise mark for a single season. Also picked up his 85th, 86th, and 87th point last night. So that's a new career best for him in points. So Philip Forsberg, even while not practicing, continues to produce, continues to put the puck in the back of the net. And he is, I would feel pretty confident saying, going to establish a new single-season goal-scoring record by himself here for the Predators. And Gus Nyquist passes the 70-point mark, which continues to just be amazing. He has 22 goals. He had three assists last night, so now 49 assists. So he's closing in on 50 assists, and he has gone over the 70-point mark for the first time in his career at age 34. So a couple of big milestones hit last night for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, Nyquist keeps making. I mean, even the assists don't keep up with the ridiculous passes. You know, he's a playmaker, and Yeah, so this is why the Preds have to play Dallas, because now, Forsberg's about to smash Duchesne's record, and then I'll give Duchesne just
That's
even
right.
a little bit more incentive to come after the Preds in that first round. But yeah, of
Philip,
course,
you
lots of
broke my
good.
record.
Play a song about it and then come in here and give a hattie in game three. But I mean, Forsberg, of course, there's a lot of joking last night about the lack of practice too. So he pulled the Allen Iverson practice.
He
Or no,
did.
I'm sorry. Wait, I think I just conflated the practice with the Jim Mora playoffs.
You
That's
did.
actually, yeah, talking about practice. Yeah, sorry. Not practice. That's not how it goes. You know what I mean.
I do. But hey, man, if he's going to be as productive as he's been over this stretch, he may never need to practice again. I mean, it's been pretty. I mean, look, he's been productive basically from the opening puck drop this year until now. So the consistency that you've been looking for Philip Forsberg, 2 out of the last 3 seasons, he has provided it and more for you. So it's now, two of the last 3 years, he's had more than 40 goals. He had 84 points a couple of years ago. He's at 87 now. He's probably going to end up somewhere in the 90s. So, I mean, it's a heck of a year for Forsberg. And look, they're playing so often right now that and he's been in the league so long. I mean, he's closing in on 700 career games, and that's just in the regular season. That, the practice and lack of practice time this time of year, I don't think is a huge deal. I do think there's some value to it. Brunette was talking about his touches last night,
Yeah,
and
yep.
for a guy that has the puck as much as he does and that can do as many different things with the puck as he can, I have seen him. We talked about it the other night in Boston. Like, I thought it took him a long time against Boston to really get going with the puck. So in a perfect world, you'd like to see him out there practicing. I think he would too. But man, I mean, you can't argue with the results. If he's going to be as productive as he's been, I mean, you'll just take it. Be ready to play and be ready to play in the games, and you can worry about practice later.
Yeah. And I mean, he sort of he had the whole, well, maybe it'll hopefully be soon. But I mean, Burnett, from what Burnett told us on our show yesterday, probably not going to change. So in the meantime, it is worth looking at Forsberg and saying, well, anybody who thought, well, he's just going to have that one huge year to get the contract, or even if you had a problem with the contract, I mean, I think you can see now. Even a little older as he is, he's still a dynamic player, man. And obviously, this line, I mean, O'Reilly and Nyquist, I mean, they deserve some credit there too, right? I mean, it's a great combination, but he's been fantastic overall, and also some great butt checks last night too, just to
He's
add to the game.
known to throw the butt checks. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Rob. Rob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Great game last night. You know, the one thing that is going to get me more than anything all day today is that I don't need to hear about Stillman say, "I'm worried. I'm so worried." Well, he can be unworried now because the Preds played awesome. And guess what? That was a heavy team, and they played really, really good against a heavy, heavy team. Yeah, first and second period were so-so, but then they turned on the switch just like they always do for the third period. Let's go, baby. We're going to the playoffs.
Thanks for the call, Rob. Rob's fired up this morning. I will say, again, I may be being a little too hard on him. I thought that it was a gigantic, noticeable drop in the first period of the way that they played over the last month and a half. So I didn't think they were very good in the first game in the first period. I didn't think they were great in the second period. Now, to their credit, they were much better in the third. Like, it was a pretty back and forth period in the third period. Now, one thing that, I think you have to point out in the game last night, I thought Jordan Binnington was awful. Like, I mean, three of the goals the
Yeah.
Predators
Five
scored
hole.
went in off of him or right through the five hole. Like, it was like, okay, you're going to stop a puck tonight? I mean, the Blues Twitter was all over Binnington last night with the way that he played. And then, the McCarron goal was a backbreaker for them in the third that just goes right in off of him. And it's a bad turnover. It's a shot from the slot, so it's a good chance for McCarron, but that's one that Binnington needs to have. But credit to the Predators for being able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, the goalie matchup last night was very, very lopsided. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I disagree that they played great, but it is good to have that third period that they did. I feel like, I don't know, you tell me, I feel like they have a lot more good third periods than first periods. Is that fair?
Well, it is fair, but it wasn't that way for half the year. Like, yeah. I mean, the third period, and that's what's been kind of remarkable about this run.
They've given up a lot of leads early in the year, yeah.
The third period,
big mistakes.
They used to be not very good. And whether it was either giving up leads or they just didn't score a lot in the third period. And really this whole run, they have been dominant in the third period. And, you know, I wouldn't necessarily classify last night's third period as dominant, but I did think that they certainly were much better in the third than they were in the first two. And, you know, it was kind of it was a weird game the whole time. I mean, they're calling penalties left and right.
Yeah.
And some of them I thought were really ticky-tack with what they were calling last night. So it was hard to establish a ton of flow. And then, you know, it gets down to 4-on-4 in the third, and St. Louis is pulling their goalie with 11 minutes left. I mean, it's a weird game, right? To really get a true gauge of what's going on out there with the special teams and kind of the special circumstances of that. But I did think, like, one trait that is a nice trait to have. You want to be good in every period, but as strong as they've been in the third period, if they can maintain that heading into the playoffs, that's a pretty good trait to have.
And, you know, there's been some talk about, like, this style. And, like, I think was it McDonough who's talked about, like, he hasn't been as, you know, he's been more banged up typically. Now, he's also a guy who used to play in, you know, 110 games every year or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is there something to the system, like, giving them a little bit more juice late in games at this time, late in the year?
Well, I mean, maybe. I think it's interesting because I think you could certainly make that argument. You could also make the argument, and I think you're seeing it by the way that they're handling the practice schedule. Like, they're not practicing today. I mean, there's some fatigue that's there, and you're trying to manage that as best as you can if you're Andrew Brunette. So I do think, like, their skating and the way that the system stretches the other team, especially when they have the puck, right? And last night's not a good example of that. But Predators, for the most part, during the last couple of months, have had the puck more than the other team. I think that wears on people. And I think that if you could keep that going and you can wear people down, it causes breakdowns. It causes bad mistakes with the puck. It causes turnovers. It causes mental mistakes. And then if you're the Predators, you got to take advantage of that. And to their credit, they have offensively. So they did that again last night, even in the third. I mean, look, it got a little hairy for a second, Joe. I mean, it's 4-3 with a couple of minutes left after Kyrou scores that goal. And yep. I'm thinking, well, they're about to pull the goalie again. If they establish some sustained offensive zone pressure, this could get really interesting. And the Predators, I mean, Nyquist chips it out of there. Forsberg chases it down and ices it away. So even though that's a play that's not going to be talked about today, that's a huge play by that group again, like Nyquist to chip that puck out of there. And for Forsberg to go get it to ice that one away, because I thought when they made it 4-3, I was like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah, it would have been that would have been heck of a way to lose a game that you thought was in hand at that point. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I did, other than that, because like you said, it was weird. There was a lot of stuff that went on. We haven't even gotten into the shin penalty or anything like that. But you know, ultimately, the game. Their game was better in the third. So I think that's in terms of, like, the big picture moving into the next game. Cause, you know, like Brunette was already talking about that last night, you know, got to get the game back. I did think they at least got some of it back in the third.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Predators. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the text line, including on the officiating last night. We'll get into all that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. We are broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Big win for the Preds last night. It all but eliminates St. Louis from catching them in the standings. They remain 1 point up on the LA Kings in the first wildcard spot and 6 points behind Winnipeg, who, by the way, they play next week. So some games to attend to before then. if you're the Predators, but a big game next time they're at home, taking on the Winnipeg Jets on Tuesday. Taking your thoughts on the Pred, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie, man. Hey, Joe. So the overreaction whenever we let go of Duchesne and Johansson, I don't know if y'all remember that. It's pretty bad. Like, and the same thing when we brought in Nyquist, which I didn't know Nyquist. I think anybody who pretends to know the guys who kind of sneak up and do well later, they're bogus. So like, I don't know who this guy is. I feel like I know the name. It's like Jones or Jackson common for us. Nyquist seems like a hockey name, but I don't know who he is, but he's a stud. Like, he's, y'all talk about his puck moving, dude. That's the one thing I notice every time he's on the ice is, like, he's almost like a point guard. And so I don't know, like, this just yet again proves that nobody knows what they're talking about with this free agency stuff in hockey, man. Like, people who think they know the right moves, there's a reason that you're not an exec. Like, I thought he was a great pickup. And I think he's, like, so far been – I don't know if he's been the pickup of the offseason because, you know, O'Reilly's pretty incredible. But that guy is – I don't think you have to run without him.
Yep, thanks for the call. I mean, look, they don't have to run without Nyquist. I mean, he's got 71 points. So, I mean, he's been a total – oh, look, the way he's played has been a revelation. Like, you know, I've talked to him about this, and I talked to Forsberg and O'Reilly and Yossi about this. Like, he's not even surprised that he's a good player. Like, he's been a good player for a long time. He's been kind of a borderline top six guy that puts up, you know, 50 points here, 48 points there, 60 points here, 53 points there. He's never been this. Like, this is, you're talking 71 points. He's probably going to finish somewhere in the neighborhood of 76, 77 points if he continues to play the way that he's playing right now. I mean, at the age of 34, he's having a magical year. And it's not a fluke, Joe. He's doing it every night. Like, he has been one of their top handful of players pretty much every night since they put that line together. So, you know, I do remember the free agency part of this. I've talked about this, too. Like, when they signed Nyquist, I was like, oh, okay, well, he's nice. He's a nice player. Maybe could fit in on the third line at some point down the stretch here with some of the young guys. Never could have envisioned this with 71 points at the age of 34.
Yeah. Now, to Adam's point, I mean, Nyquist has been a good player in this league. Now, he's been a good player in this league with bad Detroit Red Wings teams, you know, so it's kind of like if you follow them, he's been good, but yeah, this is unexpected. I feel like, you know, with the additions, it was a couple things. One, it was just the entire idea that this team was not going to be a playoff team. So what's the point? You know, the idea of, okay, now they're finally going to just go give the young guys, you know, they're going to load that lineup with the young guys, Milwaukee, just come on, just transfer Milwaukee down to Nashville, you know, and see what they have, which, you know, we've talked about all that. Trotz, you know, is a big believer in not going too early with guys. And look, some of those guys have been disappointed this year. Let's also acknowledge that. But a lot of the criticism of all those signings was just like, wait a minute, so do they think they're going to be good next year? And, well, the answer, I guess, is yes. Because, I wrote this today. I think this is the best team since they won the division in 19, the best Preds team. And I think it's the most exciting Preds team since the one before that, which was the President's Trophy team. So that's a long time. And you know, you try to remember, you know, they did have that really good run in 21 and they did give the Canes a really good series, but I don't think it matches up to this. So that's all a big surprise. And Nyquist would be probably at the head of the list of individual surprises, I guess. I mean, there's some other role players out there that I didn't think would be playing, though, so I guess you could throw them in there too.
Matthew from Jolton on the text line: is it just me or was the officiating and commentary the worst I've seen all year? Got another text that says the officials changing the boarding call from a major to a minor on Shen changed the whole momentum of the game for the better in the second. That was a 2-3 goal swing for the Preds between killing that power play off and scoring their own before the period was over. This from an unnamed texter on the text line. I couldn't tell you about the commentary. I'm sure that Buchagross and Ryan Callahan did a fine job. But
we had great commentary on Press Row.
So I can tell you that. The officials, they were calling a lot last night, more than I thought. And I guess they were trying to prevent it from getting out of hand. But in a game that you had to know coming into it was going to be a pretty high stakes game with a lot of emotion, they called a lot last night. And I'm glad that the rule to go back and look at the major penalty is in place. That's exactly why it's in place. So you make the call. I mean, look, it looks scary, right? Kyrou gets hit along the boards.
Yeah, it looks like bad.
He gets hit in the head. Yeah, and then he falls down, and then you go back and look at it. So I think they made the right call. I mean, I think you could have made an argument when you really go back and look at the replay, Joe. You can make an argument it wasn't a penalty. I mean, it's not Luke Shen's fault that Jordan Kyrou falls down there. So you could make the argument it wasn't a penalty. Jim Diamond was screaming about that last night. But certainly the right call to not call it a major penalty.
Yeah, no, that's a great example of in real time. I'm like, oh, that's bad. That's a bad play by Shen. And then, yeah, you watch it like, okay, I don't know what his options were on that one. So, it was a chippy game. I never thought it really got close to anyone dropping gloves. But a lot of after the whistle stuff in front of the goalies and stuff like that. And obviously, again, the Blues are desperate. There is some level of, I guess, built-in rivalry with these teams, although it doesn't feel like it used to. But they were a little whistle happy last night for sure. And again, turns out to be, I mean, all we're talking about going into the game is the special teams for the Preds and all, you know, the issues, and their kills fantastic last night, and they score two power play goals. So I guess the whistles benefited them.
Stilly just texted me and said the commentary was horrific. So apparently people not a fan of Buchagross and Callahan last night.
Buchagross and who Callahan?
Ryan Callahan.
Ryan Callahan? Okay. Yeah. Not Brian. Not to be confused with Brian Callahan.
Not to be confused with Brian Callahan.
I thought Buchagross, he's not good? His play-by-play?
Apparently not. Apparently people have a big problem with it.
Okay.
Tyler, go ahead.
No, I've seen him and I thought he was fine.
Tyler on the text line. Would you guys rather have the Kings overtake the Preds if that means they play the Central winner, or would you rather them stay the first wild card regardless of who they play? In my opinion, I'd rather them play Dallas out of Dallas, Vancouver, and Colorado. I don't think like staying in the first wild card regardless of who they play, like it doesn't really matter to me if they finish ahead of the LA Kings for first wild card or second wild card, other than the matchups. Like that's why it would matter, would be the matchups and who you preferred there.
Yeah, I'm still in the avoid Colorado camp. I mean, Dallas does look pretty freaking scary right now. And, you know, they're going to get good goaltending, and they are pretty complete. I guess I'm almost drifting toward Vancouver as that might be the best option for the Preds. But I would say avoiding Colorado would be, I just think Colorado still has this level to them that, and obviously they've done it. They've done it at the highest level.
I'm starting to let Vancouver creep in there as my number one.
Yeah. Yeah. I
get the travel. I get all that, but I'm starting to let Vancouver creep in there as number one, especially when you consider that not all of their team, but a lot of their team really haven't done this before in the playoffs.
That's right. So they're like the surprise team, and you know he's going to win the Jack Adams probably, and all that stuff. And yeah, I think there's a good case there, and I feel like you know Dallas and Colorado might really push each other here to for one of them to win the division. You know, if you get wild card one, then you're probably just looking at Vancouver, and I think the Preds would have a chance in that series without question.
Yeah, people are all over Buchagross and Ryan Callahan last night on the text line, all over them.
Like, were they mispronouncing names?
I don't know.
I don't know. Like, give me some examples.
Logan says it's a crime to have to watch that game on ESPN Plus last night. Kyle said they talked about everything but hockey on the commentary last night. I mean, everybody, all over the ESPN Plus broadcast. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Preds, their big win against St. Louis last night in the playoff race. We'll have Jared Stillman coming up at 7 o'clock. All that ahead, you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Score big this spring with Lee Company and the Nashville Predators. In the 10K Power Play giveaway, enter for a chance to win a Kohler home generator or $10,000 towards Lee Company Home Services. All you got to do, go online to leecompany.com/giveaway in order to enter. In the 10K Power Play giveaway, contest entries are accepted until Saturday, April the 20th. Lee Company, all you need. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Nick Keys are here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, they get a big win last night, 6-3 against the St. Louis Blues. Matthew from Jolton on the text line, Joe, says the best odds for a deep run is definitely going through the Pacific. Johnny on Twitter says Vancouver, absolutely the right matchup, especially if Demko is not back and healthy. You know, it is a little bit of pick your poison here, because there will be people that say if you go the Pacific route, the travel is going to be a big deal. Now, one thing, everybody goes back to 2016 on that, Joe, when the Predators had to go 7 games with Anaheim, 7 games with San Jose. There's also no guarantee that each series is going to be 7 games. So, you know, if you can win and you can win in 6, that eliminates a trip right there. If you win in 5, that eliminates another trip back to Nashville right there that you can then come back and rest. So, like, it also depends on how the series goes and how long it goes as to how it affects your travel if you end up in the Pacific bracket.
Yeah. Off the top of my head, I mean, the Anaheim series, I think they won 3 road games, didn't they? I think they did.
That is correct.
Now, of course, I think the Sharks series was all home for the, right? Like, Sharks won all 4. Correct. Yeah. Okay. Well, how about that memory? How about that noggin, huh?
Mind is like a steel trap up there.
Yes. That was my first, you know, Nashville Predators coverage thrown right into that travel. So, I understand the idea, but they have to fly to Nashville too. And, Thatcher Demko, was he? So he's week to week, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. He hasn't really been great this year anyway, but, or at least by the numbers, but, that's an interesting, you know, thing to keep in mind. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I personally want the Dallas series because I just love the Duchesne thing, and I just think it would be a lot of fun, you know, like that. So selfishly, I want Dallas.
We'd have to find a way to end up down there as a show. I mean, it would be awesome. I would love that series. First off,
maybe Duchesne will, like, you know, rejoin us as he did when he was here.
Well, he might. Just Matt, your thoughts on Barry Trotz? Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Bob. Bob, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. I think one of the key players heading into the playoffs is McCarron, and I was going to ask you, do you think that there are similarities between him and his role and his skill set and Austin Watson when Watson was in his prime? I'd like to know your comments on that.
Thanks
for the call. I think there are similarities. I think that McCarron is a lot more physical than Watson. And I know Watson wasn't afraid to hit, but McCarron, first off, McCarron
he's
can
heavier.
Chuck him.
He's heavier.
He can chuck him. You know, offensively, I think it's pretty similar, right? I mean, you know, Watson was a winger and McCarron is a centerman, so it's a little bit different from that regard. Like, McCarron's put up 12 goals this year, which if you'd have told me that heading into the year, I'd have told you you were nuts. But 12 goals from him, scores another one last night. I don't hate that comparison. You know, they're both big guys. McCarron is bigger. I mean, McCarron, I think sometimes we forget how big he is. That dude is 6'6". He's listed at 232. I think he's probably bigger than that. So he's an absolute load to deal with. And look, I think he's put in some valuable time on the penalty kill for them lately, which is also kind of a nice comparable to Watson.
That's
there
a
too.
Watson so thing all the way.
That's not a bad comparison that Bob throws out there.
Yeah. I mean, Watson had maybe a little bit more touch. Remember, Watson was first round pick.
Well, so was McCarron.
Oh, that's right. Well, there you go. It's a great comparison, Bob. I'm sorry, Big Sexy from Grosse Pointe, Michigan. That is my fault for getting that. But, yeah, I don't hate that. You know, he had the Watson Sissons Bonino line that was out there the last time they won a playoff series. Actually doing a great job against the McKinnon line when they were just babies. But McCarron has been, he's been a revelation. I mean, among the, and I at times, you know, watching Sherwood too and some of the stuff he does out there. I mean, they got a lot of guys who are, I guess, overachieving or maybe just doing more than you would have thought with this team. But McCarron is a really intriguing player.
Well, that line, it's all about effort and energy, right? Like that line is not good enough skill wise to overwhelm anybody. But number one, Cole Smith and Kiefer Sherwood are pretty good skaters, so they can both move. You know, McCarron, for his size, skates pretty well, but you know, McCarron's not going to be some blazer out there, but they're all kind of heavy, right? Like Cole Smith can be heavy on the puck. Kiefer Sherwood can get in there and blast people. So like they've got a heaviness to them that I really like. But again, Joe, like that line's been great for the most part. Obviously we know about the Forsberg line with O'Reilly and Nyquist. I thought again last night, Jankowski, Novak, Evangelista, when they get going in the offensive zone, they can really be creative and get some quality looks. And Evangelista, really throughout this whole run, I don't know what specifically it's been that's clicked with him, that's made it pretty consistent. But like it's gotten to the point with him, I don't worry about him anymore. Like I think he's really good, and he's on a nightly basis at this point, playing really well, making the right decisions with the puck. You know, I thought he was a liability away from the puck earlier in the year, and he's not that now. Like, he's not some shutdown defensive forward, but I think that his game is rounding into form very nicely, where you're feeling pretty good about him heading into playoffs.
Yeah, he's got great skill, quickness, but also I feel like he's got a great feel out there. You can see it, and you can definitely see the chemistry with him and Novak at times. I mean, I think you project down the road, Evangelista maybe up in the lineup a little bit. I think he could be really, really good. I mean, you can see where it's going with him.
And then there's Jared's boy, Mark Jankowski, who's the record that they have since he's coming to lineup. It's pretty good. I mean, we talked about Beauvillier, right? They haven't lost in regulation with him. Like, they put Jankowski in. I think he was in for like two games before they started this streak, and I guess including the 9-2 beatdown that took place. But the record with Jankowski in there is outstanding, Rex Road.
Yeah, I keep saying Novangelista. So what about just Jan Evangelista? Let's do that. Make it official. Hashtag
the T-shirts. Yeah, yep. That'd be good. Big win for the Preds last night. We'll get we joined by Jared Stillman coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Preds, his thoughts on some NFL moves made this week, including Stephon Diggs to the Houston Texans. All that is coming up next. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our phone and text line. Driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.